Christopher Buckley is the best-selling author of 11 books, including God is My Broker and his latest, Supreme Courtship. As a father, Buckley was prompted to look at his own generation, the boomers, and the legacy it was leaving his children. The result? The novel Boomsday, which tells the story of a runaway piece of legislation urging boomers to commit voluntary suicide for tax incentives. Buckley read an excerpt for Steve Paulson.
Thank you, Wendy Wong in Washington, for that report on the deteriorating economic situation. In Florida today, another attack on a gated community by youths protesting the recent hike in the Social Security payroll tax. Several hundred people in their 20s stormed the gates of a retirement community in the early hours this morning. Residents were assaulted as they played golf. Demonstrators seized carts and drove them under water hazards and bunkers. Others used spray paint and garden implements to write slogans on the greens. One such message, gouged into the 18th green, read, "Boomsday Now." The word refers to the term economists use for the date this year when the first of the nation's 77 million so-called baby boomers began to retire with full Social Security benefits. The development has put a tremendous strain on the system that in turn has sent shockwaves through the entire U.S. economy. A maintenance worker at the golf course said it might be, quote, weeks before residents were able to play golf. In other news today, the vice president has shot yet another lawyer. This time, he says, in self-defense.
That is good. I would think it would be almost impossible to write a funny novel about the looming problems of paying for Social Security. Whatever made you want to take on this subject?
Well, I like a challenge. It is a challenge. Social Security. When you think Social Security, you don't immediately slap your thigh and double over. But, you know, I like to write about, or I tend to write about things that I suppose get me angry, and the government's continuing fumbling of the ball and passing along all this debt to future generations. I have young kids, and they're going to be paying these Social Security bills for our retiring boomer generation. So I thought, well, let's try to take that on. Again, the trick is finding the satire in it. In the conceit of Boomsday, this novel is this young woman who has a personal reason to be angry about the prior generation doing this to her generation. And she sort of mischievously proposes via a senator whom she's befriended that one way to solve the Social Security problem would be for the government to incentivize suicide for retiring baby boomers. So if you kill yourself at 65, you get a big tax relief passage.
I guess you don't get it yourself, but it's passed down to your descendants.
The estate, you know, it can convey to your children. So this senator who's ambitious and running for president proposes it. And, you know, Washington being Washington, it starts as an absurdity and then becomes sort of more and more plausible. Of course, it doesn't happen in the end. It's a little bit, I emphasize, I'm not in any way comparing myself with Jonathan Swift, but you remember his modest proposal that the poor of Ireland solve their hunger problems by eating their children.
But what you're tapping into is not just the financial problem, but also the generational warfare that's sort of bubbling underneath the surface. I mean, this is not just about young people, let's say in their 20s, who are upset about the coming financial crisis. It's also about just general anger at all those baby boomers out there. And in your novel, your main character, Cassandra Devine, who is just generally furious at her own father.
Yeah, in politics, always look for the personal motive. And in Cassandra's case, she was an honors student at high school, and she gets into Yale. And it turns out that her dad, who's trying to do a dot-com startup, has used the college money. So she doesn't go to Yale. Instead, she goes into the U.S. Army and ends up as a public affairs officer in Bosnia. So she's mad. But that's just a way of, you know, making dramatic, if you will, or personal, a broader complex. I am a card-carrying member of the boomer generation. And I am often appalled by our self-indulgence. You know, I mean, as always, there are complexities and ironies and contradictions. I think boomers are very good parents, for instance. I think we've probably as a generation spent more time with our children than our parents did. And yet, I think there is a self-indulgence that tends to shunt aside the consciousness about these problems. I mean, I'm very cognizant of the fact that we are saddling future generations with terrible, terrible debt.
When you talk about self-indulgence, what do you mean?
Oh, turn on TV. You know,
I thought the TV was appealing to a younger generation than
well,
the boomers.
The word yuppie seems to have gone into retirement, but I'm talking about what we used to call the yuppie mentality, you know, the obsession with having the sub-zero refrigerator because, as David Brooks says, zero just isn't cold enough, or expensive cars and this and that. I think the boomer generation has elevated consumerism into an art form. And I don't think that is our generation's most attractive quality.
And yet this is also the generation that was very idealistic at one point. I mean, just think about the 60s, and it does make you wonder what happened.
Well, yeah. I mean, turn on the evening news, and you see these ads. And the music for all these ads is invariably some song you first heard at Woodstock, you know, only now it's being used to promote free checking at Chase Manhattan. it's really, where have all the flowers gone? You know, they're into the ATM machines. It's, well, every generation is idealistic, and then every generation, I guess, you know, gets old. And this is not, I mean, there are a lot of people who were idealistic in the 60s and who remained idealistic, and they, you know, they lived lives of service. So I certainly don't mean to dump on the whole generation, but by and large, there's been a certain amount of selling out, I would say.
Now, as you have said, you yourself are a baby boomer. Would you care to defend your generation?
Well, you know, I haven't come to denounce my generation, but I'm just saying that I don't think it's likely that future historians are going to call us the greatest generation. You know, we were the, as President Clinton said when he spoke at those D-Day commemoration ceremonies some years ago, we are the children. He looked at the veterans who were assembled there, you know, who had stormed the heights of Pointe du Hoc and come ashore in Omaha Beach. And he said a line that was sort of semi-memorable. He said, "We are the children of your sacrifice." Look, if you could be born at any time in human history, wouldn't you probably pick being born in America sometime starting in 1946? I mean, what generation in what country has enjoyed such abundant blessings as ours? I'm just saying that I'm not sure we have proved ourselves completely worthy of that benison.
To get back to your novel for a moment.
I'm sounding very pompous, I must say. I apologize.
No, quite all right. This rather outrageous idea that maybe there should be euthanasia for people who get old to help defray the costs of the coming Social Security crisis. And I have to say, I love the phrase that your heroine, Cassandra, uses, transitioning.
Voluntary transitioning.
As they transition out of this lifetime. Spell out this modest proposal. How might this work?
Oh, well, it's, you know, it's an idea as absurd as Jonathan Swift's proposal that poor Irish eat their children. But as a comic device, the details are that, you know, government would set up transitioning centers where you would go in and lie down and have piped in music and, you know, one last martini, and they stick the vein. It's sort of, you know, lethal injection with a smiley face. It's a sort of a, I suppose, a dystopian version of how it might all end up. Cassandra's not a, you know, terrible person. She's actually a good person. She intends it purely as a device to get the government focused in on that. But what happens is this senator sort of carries the ball, and it becomes a, you know, something that gets talked about on the Sunday morning talk shows.
Well, one thing that strikes me is that, I mean, of course, this is an absurd scenario you've created. I mean, but partly because the problems of dealing with Social Security payments seems far off. It might not seem so far off in 10 or 20 years. And who knows, maybe this voluntary transitioning won't seem so crazy at some point.
Well, unless it's fixed, this is going to be a problem at least as large as energy. And it's going to be very noticeable. I mean, there's 77 million baby boomers, and they started to retire last year. And that's going to put a terrible strain. And the math, again, that you mentioned, when Social Security was enacted, there were 15 workers for every single retiree. There are now 3 workers for every retiree. Of course, in those days, we didn't live as long. It's the complexities of modern life. I mean, we live so long now, and it costs a lot to live long. But the quality of life is, well, often not so good. Anyway, by solving one problem, we seem to stumble into another. But that's, I suppose, always been the case.